Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Educating Josh, in which the three of us, Lucy Bella Earl, James O'Neill, and I, Luke Cuffforth, bring together three of the most divisive stories of the week. Our wonderful Josh Winslade will have 20 seconds to respond with his gut feeling on the story with absolutely no research, after which we will have an attempt at Educating Josh. Make sure you stick around to the end for the quick fire round, which includes some of your questions from social media. Don't forget to follow us at Educating Josh on all socials, subscribe, and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. Guys, hello.
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 How are you feeling about your stories this week?
Lots has happened.
Yeah,
lots has happened.
Got very heated last week, especially in our first story. Lucy, you started last week. How did your story perform in our polls on Twitter?
Okay, so we asked Twitter a slightly skewed question this week. I will admit that maybe the wording could have been better, but we asked whether an unborn fetus should have more of a right to life than a pregnant woman. And 91% of people voted no.
Of course.
But had we rewritten the question, maybe that would have been different.
No, I think it probably would have been the same result. Yeah. With the same question.
We have a very liberal audience,
yes.
I think.
Yeah.
So we had a pretty good discussion last week, but Frances wanted to fight Josh on one point. She was saying that she doesn't believe that... Oh, actually, is it she?
I was going to say, is it a she?
Yeah, it's Frances. I don't know. They were saying that they don't believe that all women should go into sex considering the possible consequences of having a child, as men don't have this responsibility. So it's more about balance. The sexes, you see?
No, well, yeah, of course. That's exactly why I believe that men shouldn't have been able to vote.
I see. Good. Okay, moving on. James, your story was second last week. How did it perform?
So, last week I asked the question, should drugs be legalized to allow quality control? And 63% of people said yes, which I found quite interesting because I thought most people would say no, but...
I was surprised it was so low. I thought it'd be higher.
Oh, really?
Really? Yeah.
Yes, and one of the things we talked about last week was whether legalization of drugs would cause more people to take them. Now, we have one person from the Netherlands, Jamie, said, I live literally across the shop from a coffee shop in the Netherlands as a place where you can smoke weed and stuff. And I've never done drugs in my life and I'm not planning to. Having access to drugs doesn't change how I feel about them.
Interesting.
But he might be a really sensible person who knows that he's not prone to addiction and
so
things like that.
So what you're saying is, Lucy, we need to cater for the lowest common denominator.
Pick
at
and
all
choose,
times.
I
mean, that sort of is the role of the law,
yes,
isn't it?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, and my story was last, and this is one that I got particularly heated on. My question was, is killing animals to protect meat and dairy livestock justified? Now, my answer, no. Just one with 57%, but yes also got 40%, so very, very divided. And I basically learned this week that no one cares about badgers quite as much as I do.
I don't even think I've seen a badger.
Serena said that, quote, this is such a Luke story.
Well, yes, but exactly. Maria,
but Maria sent, and I think we can all get around for this, Maria sent us an even sadder story from Italy where they're culling this adorable little animal called a quipu, an animal that they themselves introduced when they needed fur. So they brought it to the country and now they're going, get out our country. There's a metaphor in there somehow. I think.
Luke, I think what I take away from this is it's adorable how much you care about animals.
I just love badgers, yeah. Okay? All right. Well, anyway, first story this week.
That's my story. Okay, I'm feeling really good about my topic this week. Josh, the headline is from The Guardian, Britain's Got Talent, Lost Voice Guy's victory is a win for all disabled people. Question mark.
Ooh.
Ooh.
So the question mark came from me, by the way, not The Guardian. I just added that. I like question marks.
Cool.
As much as badgers. Anyway, These are the three things you need to know. This year's series was notable for the number of people who identified themselves as disabled appearing in the show, including a dancer who became a wheelchair user after the Manchester Arena bombing and a child singer with autism. Some people have criticized the show's use of disability and the emotional statements from judges that veered towards pity, such as Alicia Dixon saying, "So many people are going to be inspired by you, and for that, you've already won." Which can seem a bit condescending. The final winner, Lee Ridley, known as the Lost Voice Guy, who performs jokes using an electric voice box, joked about the state of comedy and disability in Britain. Quote,
People often ask me why I want to put myself in the position where everyone can stare and laugh at me. The truth is, it happens every day anyway. And at least now there's a time and place for it. My question for you, Josh, is, are we exploiting and using people with disabilities as a vehicle to allow us to laugh at jokes that we would otherwise see as taboo? 20 seconds, Josh. Go.
Okay, cool. That's a really interesting question. I don't see jokes about people with disabilities as taboo. So I believe in kind of open comedy. I think if everything's laughed at, then nothing is taboo. And I think everything needs to be able to be laughed at, but that's kind of a personal opinion. I think that person signed up to the show themselves. And, if they went out and deliberately found disabled people, fine. But I'm assuming that maybe there was just a particular amount of disabled people this year that signed up. I don't really see it as exploiting. It's giving them that. Should they not be allowed to go on?
Well, I don't know if we're laughing at him or laughing with him, because everyone seemed to be on his side. They voted for him.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's
people
exploiting
seem to like him.
So
what I'm sort of talking about here is, by the way, I watched him. He's fantastic and I love him, and it's a wonderful thing that he's won. I do want to like stress that. I think this is brilliant. All I mean is, in terms of when we make a joke, there's a thing Ricky Gervais says all the time about the target of a joke and whether the target is a minority, like a joke going, and then the woman left the kitchen, right? That's not funny. But if you use you can tell a joke about a woman if the target is not a woman, or you can tell a joke about disability if the target is not disability. But my worry with this is that we basically, an able-bodied comedian can't make jokes about disability. That's taboo, right? In my opinion, or in a lot of people's opinion. And my worry is that we're using him. The reason why Simon Cowell or the X Factor, the Britain's Got Talent team are using him is basically to allow us as an audience to laugh at things that otherwise we wouldn't laugh at because we're scared of being.
I think I completely disagree with that. Britain's Got Talent is a platform. That person, what's his name? I feel really weird.
Lee Ridley.
So Lee has signed up to this platform. It's a talent show. He has a talent and he's funny. I disagree that, disabled jokes can only be made to people that aren't disabled. I think a disabled person can hear a disabled joke and find it funny, the same way I could hear a joke about the stereotypes of being Brazilian or the stereotypes of working in the media industry, and I find it hilarious. In fact, I can hear, jokes about what working in the film industry is like, and it's funnier because it's more relevant to me. So I guess it depends how you view yourself. Like, I don't think that, I disagree. I think there is disabled people can find jokes about themselves funny.
Yeah, I think it might actually be quite liberating in a way for Lee. He did lose his voice, didn't he?
He lost his voice 37 years ago.
Yeah, so he lost his voice, and as someone who wanted to pursue comedy, he's finally able to actually pursue that. He's overcome his, what would you say, constraints? Or he's overcome his disability.
I feel like maybe I'm misrepresenting my opinion here. I'm not saying...
No, you're not at all.
What you were saying, Josh, about you can laugh at a joke being Brazilian, and you are Brazilian, right, or Brazilian descent, that's a different thing, because that's if Lee was disabled performing to other disabled people. What I'm talking about is a bunch of able-bodied people laughing at a joke, for example, like, you better not get stuck behind me on the stairs if there's a fire.
Yeah, but that is a logical... There's a formula to comedy, and you use stereotypes and you use the things around you. If you look at like comedy as a mathematical equation, there's nothing wrong with that. They've taken something that obviously makes sense. You would be in trouble if you were stuck behind someone in a wheelchair on the stairwell during a fire.
But somebody else wouldn't be able to make that joke, is my point. Somebody like...
Of course they can. It's observational. Ricky Gervais could make, anyone could make it, and I would not take offense to it. Like,
I think that would be an offensive joke to a lot of people. And I'm not on any level saying that Lee shouldn't be making these jokes. I think, like, as I said, this is fantastic. It's incredible that somebody with his condition has now won a talent competition. Massive. He's going to America soon with Simon Cowell. And I think that's a fantastic thing, and he fully deserves that. All I mean is it a little bit weird for the rest of us as able-bodied people to be sort of laughing along at jokes about something we don't understand and can't understand?
Is the solution to that disabled people then not being allowed to joke about disability, or only disabled people can laugh at this disabled comedian's jokes?
Yeah, I think you get into the realms of like suppressing people, and I think it's absolutely fine for a non-disabled person to make a disabled joke, because then you'll have black comedians only being able to make black jokes, white comedians only being able to make white jokes.
Well, but that is a commonly held view, is it not? That if a black, like, comedians of color, is that a thing?
So are you saying,
will make racial jokes that a white comedian could not and should not make?
What do you mean should not? That's what I disagree with.
Because it wouldn't be acceptable.
Why?
Well, why? It might not be funny coming from...
It wouldn't be funny coming from a white person.
It's observational. There are white comedians that make black jokes every single day. Like, and I think this is a real... Like, it's a bit of an issue. Like, and if nothing is taboo, then nothing's taboo. You are creating... What you're doing there by... Like, by segregating people and cultures and comedy, you're enforcing stereotypes.
I'm not in any way talking about stopping Lee making these jokes or even stopping them being broadcast. All I'm saying is there something going on where we have this, we as the able-bodied community, have this sort of dark desire and dark fascination with making jokes about things that we wouldn't otherwise make jokes about? Are we laughing at him, not with him?
Everybody loves
not jokes. No, I think it's very British. It's making light of a less than ideal situation, and it's funny, and we laugh at it, and we're all laughing together. No one's laughing at him there.
Yeah, and I do. I feel quite strongly about the fact that, you know, if only black people can tell black jokes, you're enforcing stereotypes. That's actually promoting segregation as opposed to everything becoming accepted and everything becoming funny. Like, that is definitely not what I want, like, comedy in the world, the route I want the world to go down. And so James, I think going back to, like, the original question in terms of are we exploiting them? I mean, no, because it was his choice to go on the show. Like, he's made that choice.
So you don't think Simon Cowell's exploiting him either?
Simon Cowell has provided a platform. And do you think Simon Cowell exploited One Direction? Four young boys that are going on a talent show and they made a lot of money on them?
Personally, probably, yeah.
Or did he give them an opportunity to become the biggest pop band in the world?
I think a lot of people are exploited on these shows. Look at the people who can't sing that go on Britain's Got Talent and that do awful performances. Yeah. There's so much we can call exploitation.
James, would you, for example, if there was a straight person making a joke where the punchline was, and then he was gay, would that be okay to you? And I don't mean to compare minorities, it's just a helpful sort of comparison here.
I mean, people do make those jokes all the time in their stand-up routines, don't they? It depends on the joke, because it's really about whether they're making a joke about being a certain thing or a joke about, or whether they think they have like an insight into the experience of being a thing. I think it's okay to have a joke in which certain characters in a joke setup or whatever are certain, obviously it depends on context, belong to certain groups or like minorities. But if it's a joke that assumes insight into an experience, to me, that seems a bit, I don't know, it's a bit weird.
Okay, well, I am wavering on my point. You guys have educated me. Well done, fantastic. And on my own story, whoops. Do you guys feel you've agreed on this?
Yeah. I think that, yes, it's exploiting someone, but it's everybody's exploited on that platform, and it's nice that everyone's being exploited. So if anyone's exploited, exploit everyone. That's my
that point. It's giving equality someone a platform, in your exploitation.
Equality and exploitation, there we go.
All right, fantastic. Well, that is a really good way to wrap up. Thank you, Josh. You can let us know what you think over on Twitter at Educating Josh in our polls. Next story comes from James.
I'm a bit nervous about this story. Josh, my story comes from Rolling Stone. Roseanne is cancelled following the star's racist ape tweet.
Oh.
So, Roseanne Barr has recently had her rebooted version of Roseanne cancelled after a flurry of tweets led her to likening President Obama's advisor, Valerie Jarrett, who is African-American, to an ape, tweeting, Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby.
Oh.
She quickly tried to pass the slur off as a joke, apologizing and claiming that she was leaving Twitter. Within a very short period of time, Wanda Sykes, an African-American comedian and consulting producer on the show, announced that she was leaving Roseanne. Within 24 hours of the tweet, the show was cancelled by ABC Entertainment, with their president stating, Roseanne's Twitter statement is abhorrent, repugnant, and inconsistent with our values, and we have decided to cancel her show. My question for you, Josh, is, should punishment for prejudiced behaviour be put ahead of the livelihoods of other people and their jobs?
20 seconds, Josh, go.
So I think for me, working in kind of the commercial TV and film industry as much as I do, shows get cancelled all the time. Even 2 weeks before they're meant to go live, they get put into hiatus, they get cancelled. So yes, I think that something as abhorrent as that, I mean, normally I try and argue that freedom of speech and that whole thing that I normally do, but that really is abhorrent. And like, you're a producer on a show, and I just think that that is a little bit too much. So yeah, that's kind of my answer. But the thing I'd kind of like to put forward is, so that's my answer in the 20 seconds. I'm now outside the 20 seconds. Let's recognize that. That's my answer. But the thing that worries me is Twitter being used as a
platform in that way. So things like that being taken into account and stuff getting fired, and is that dangerous? Or on the flip side, you know, the whole idea that if everyone could have access to your thoughts, the human race would be gorgeous and lovely, and no one, there'd be no murder, and you'd be so open and honest, and that, you know, that whole concept.
Or you'd all hate each other.
Or everyone would hate each other.
But you'd get used to it. But like, so should you be...
So your point really is that she's done something, and Twitter has basically forced the hand of the company.
This
ABC.
Social media platform has, because it's been open to the populace. Like, and you know, is she good at her job? Does she, you know, that sort of thing? And so, or is what we have to accept the fact that we now live in a time where everyone is a
public figure.
Is a public figure. Yeah. You have to accept that. So you have to think about what you say.
Yeah, because the thing is about this as well is Roseanne blamed this on a drug she was on called Ambien, which led the manufacturer of Ambien, Sanofi, to have this incredible statement: while all pharmaceutical treatments have side effects, racism is not a known side effect of any of our medication. Fantastic. So what you're saying, unless by some weird miracle, she's just this one person who suddenly become racist from Ambien, then she will have been probably saying some of these things in private. And people will have known about it.
Yeah.
That people, there will at least have been rumors that she's racist, and ABC didn't step in at any point and go, "We'll cancel the show, she's racist." It's only when it became a public thing.
I don't really want to call her racist. Problematic
is a good word.
Problematic. I don't want to say that she's racist and that this is racist, because I mean, does it depend how logical you are? Does it depend how much you can separate race and how you feel towards, you know, because you can't compare someone to a monkey and expect it to be taken
well.
Expect
it to be okay.
Like, and I assume that, who is it? Valerie Jarrett isn't Muslim.
No, she's not. She's just African American.
She's African American.
The same thing happened to Barack Obama, where everyone was saying he's a Muslim, he's not a Muslim.
So Roseanne's just seen the color of this person and gone, "You're Muslim."
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. That's racist. Yes.
That is racist. Sorry. That's straight out. In my opinion, that is very racist.
I think the thing is as well, everyone has a filter online that's generally a better version of themselves in real life. And she's already been known for making racist tweets in the past and being an open Trump supporter. Yeah. I mean,
so then why, but that then annoys me, because that means that production company knew that anyway. And it's only because it's gone public that this has ever happened.
This is my point of view.
Blew up online.
This is my point of view. The studio or the production company knew that they were hiring a controversial person.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And so it's slightly their fault that this has all happened, because they've given her a platform, and basically I think they should be the ones giving compensation.
Yeah,
or
she's problematic. How could we have known?
And I suppose if ABC's statement says that her Twitter statement is repugnant and inconsistent with our values, then that therefore means that, I suppose, in my opinion, ABC's values are be racist, but if it's on Twitter, then it's not okay.
Because you saw it
in public.
Before assigning a producer to a show, that'd be like me producing a film, approaching a director to direct the film for me, knowing they were racist, it then becoming public knowledge that they were, and then deciding that doesn't align with my values.
We do have to clarify that we don't know that they knew. There's no evidence. Well, I mean, there are racist tweets in the past, to be fair, but we don't.
That's what I mean. Like, you know, you do. It's like, where does the due diligence lie? If you're hiring that producer for a show, in a world where social media and identity is so important, you would look at that person's history and you should already have an opinion on it. And, you know, they can claim ignorance. They can claim that we don't look at that and that we, you know, do it based on someone's performance history and stuff like that. But, you know, it's interesting. I believe, in my opinion, that it's only because it's become a Twitter thing, it's become trending, that's now their opinion. And that's annoying. That's kind of frustrating.
To take it back to the original question, which James posed, which is basically what's happened here is she's been fired and her show has been cancelled. But what's happened is there'll be crew, there's producers, there's all these people, many layers of industry who now are assumedly unemployed or struggling for work.
I think, like I mentioned like previously, I think that happens all the time. That's the industry. You go into that industry knowing that stuff gets cancelled, stuff gets canned, stuff.
That's the nature of being a freelancer.
It is the nature of working in that
what
kind
I
of production.
What I think maybe could have been a good thing for ABC to do is to say, or maybe for anyone to say in the in the future is, while the show's being cancelled, we're going to take those crew and reallocate them
elsewhere.
They
probably have.
They may have, don't know.
They probably no one knows
have.
Yet.
I mean, they probably actually have. But it's also, I mean, I think that how much of what I'd like to... Where do you think the responsibility lies then? Is it on her or was it on ABC to have known that? Is it not really? And what is also interesting is how many before something like Twitter, before something like social media, people were racist and you just didn't know about it. There were racist directors.
There were racist people on TV and radio here.
All over the time. Every day.
But just imagine that she said something racist in a live performance and then that was front page news. I think everyone would react in the same way if it became public knowledge.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, Twitter just gives a platform for awful comments.
It does. And also, it kind of asks the question, is how silly are you if you are to do a tweet like that?
So I suppose
that's ridiculous.
I suppose it's actually not really anything to do with social media specifically. It's more that it's become a big deal.
I think it's
to do with ABC are firing her to save face.
I think it's to do with the fact that it blew up so much and they cancelled it within 24 hours.
That's a quick decision.
Another thing that I want to point out is this has developed in the last couple days, I think. So Samantha Bee, who has a show called Full Frontal, called Ivanka Trump a feckless C-word on her show, publicly on her show. And it hasn't been cancelled yet. It's been a couple days, but it didn't blow up as much. It didn't go, in the world of online, like on social media, it didn't go as viral as the Roseanne story. So I think they've taken like a few days to like think it out. I don't know.
Because we haven't had that's a lot less of a bad statement to make, though. And that's on the show as well. So it's gone through editorial.
It's opinion, though. You're not likening her to something. You're saying, I think she's a feckless C-word. Like, I can call someone an idiot. I think I have twice already on this podcast. Like, I haven't only referred twice to someone as an ape or part of a Muslim brotherhood that they may not be.
Yeah,
like,
there are certain protected groups, I think. There are protected groups.
I don't think there should be protected groups at all. But also, it's kind of, if you take it, you know, I'm likening this to the entertainment industry, and because it's a produced show, so I'm going, okay, well, those people would be okay. But what if it was...
What about outside the entertainment industry?
Yeah, what if it was a doctor? What if it was a mum working in an Asda who tweeted something like that and then Asda fired her? Is that then okay?
Well, you can let us know what you think on Twitter and our polls at Educating Josh. Next story, last story, it's Lucy.
So my headline comes from Billboard, and it is that Demi Lovato pranked her bodyguard in Vegas and Twitter is not having it. Here are the three things you need to know, Josh. On Sunday the 3rd of June, Demi Lovato was on Twitter answering random questions from her fans, but things took a controversial turn when she responded to one question asking her what the funkiest prank she ever pulled was. In a now-deleted tweet, Lovato wrote, "I hired a lady of the night in Vegas and I sent her to Max's hotel room to surprise him."
No, Josh. Well, we know what Josh's opinion is going to be. Oh my goodness.
It gets worse.
Sorry, carry on.
She walked into his room without permission and grabbed him in his, in quotation marks, area, and he freaked the F out. Ha 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 ha.
Wow.
In a different story on the BBC, Mariella Frostrup has recently complained of a new double standard that allows women to lust over men, but when the opposite happens, men are accused of sexism. This comment came from her Radio 4 show, where she commented that she can comment on a shot of a shirtless, sea-soaked Aidan Turner, but a male presenter would not be able to comment on equally appealing female co-stars. My question to you is, are there double standards for sexualization of genders?
20 seconds, Josh. Go.
I mean, of course there is at the moment.
No, like, shock.
100%. There's so many double standards at the moment, but I don't know whether that's necessarily a bad thing. You know, it's been pretty much one way for a long time. And the big difference for me is when a girl stares at me, I don't automatically think that they're sexualizing me. Whereas when a man stares at a girl, I feel like a lot of women feel that that man is automatically sexualizing them. I don't know if that's true, but I feel like that's how, because of the history of things, it's now become.
Well, so I also think it's because that's how male brains are tuned more to that as well. Because
yeah, and I'm not saying that necessarily it's a bad thing. I don't 100% agree that sexualizing anyone is wrong. You're allowed to find someone attractive, and that's okay. And I think that I mean, this is, I don't watch it. I'm not a fan of it at all. But something like Love Island is quite funny in how unbiased it is. It's as awful to the men as it is to the women, but it's the same to both. It doesn't, you know, raise one above the other.
I found it interesting that this story, literally in the last story, Josh, you were going, I'm fed up of the way that Twitter decides everything. And then Lucy's story says, Twitter's not having it.
Oh, well, no. What Twitter's not having, they're completely wrong on. Demi Lovato knows her bodyguard personally. He knows what he's comfortable with. He's a friend. They, you know, celebrities get very close to their bodyguards. And she knows what he is or isn't comfortable with. She hasn't sent a lady of the night round to someone that wouldn't, you know, potentially... It's not a stranger. It's not a complete prank. It's funny. And also, that lady of the night has also earned some money without having to do anything too demoralising, which is great.
But can you just imagine if it was the other way around? If the bodyguards sent a man of the night, or a lady of the night, anyone of the night, into Demi Lovato's room and grabbed her area, and she... I mean, you'd feel so scared... No one wants any intruder in their room.
But men haven't been through the same thing that women have. So no, a man does not feel the same when a woman...
All men can feel uncomfortable.
I will say before we carry on this conversation, by the way, that this, for the sake of Twitter and for the sake of our discussion, this is going to be a very heteronormative discussion of males being attracted to females and females being attracted to males.
I can't start every conversation
Well, we need to clarify that because it's important. That's not the world we live in anymore. Mm-hmm. Continue. Cool.
Thank you, Luke.
Discuss away.
Great.
But let's talk about those double standards, because I just think if we want equality, we need to treat other people how we want to be treated. Mm-hmm. We want to all be treated fairly. So these double standards can't exist.
No, but then in my opinion, what happened was very funny and kind of okay. So then the reverse is it okay to knock on a door and grab a woman by the Trump statement?
Oh dear.
Well, what do you think about that other point we made about women sexualizing men? Is that okay? If it was, for example, Magic Mike, if we suddenly had Magic Michelle, do you think everyone would be up in arms?
No, I don't, because they're choosing it. I guess it's where you're choosing it and not choosing it. I think the difference is with the bodyguard is that she knows him. They're friends. They spend every day working together. He looks after her. They'll make jokes with each other all the time. And she'll have known what he is and isn't comfortable with. And the same would be true, I hope, of the reverse. So what Demi's done, I don't have a problem with at all. If he had done the same thing to her and he knew her, knew what she was and wasn't comfortable with, and he sent a man of the night around, or a lady of the night, depending on her, whatever, and that happened, he would know whether or not she was comfortable with that. So that, I think, is its own separate issue, and people are weighing in on something that is just not their problem, like, butt out. But going back to the second issue, I think that, yeah, of course, you know, women are get away with a lot more when it comes to sexualizing men, but men aren't coming from the same place. Men haven't been through that whole history.
There is reasons for that, but how far does it then go? Does it, with jokes like these, which could potentially go into, you know, the area of sexual harassment, depending on... who, I mean, obviously, she knows her bodyguard well.
Yeah, I think it's a separate issue.
Hopefully it wouldn't go there, but if it did and he was uncomfortable, what would happen then?
I mean, the bigger priority on that would be who is stupid enough to do that to someone they don't know. Like, that would be, you know, like, I think that would be the first thing to address. But when a guy gets on a train, you know, and a woman staring at him, my first thought is, am I in their way? Do they want to sit down? That's what my brain goes through. I don't automatically think, like, I feel like if you're still on a train, Lucy, and a man's staring at you, what do you think? What's the first thing that you think?
I think, is my skirt tucked into my knickers?
Okay.
Wow.
That's really specific.
We've all been there.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, there's a big difference. I'm completely comfortable with the way that men are sexualized on TV.
Can I pop in here with a little bit of a controversial opinion?
No. Please do.
I actually am perfectly okay with females sexualizing males.
Yeah.
But not for the same reasons. Now, this is going to maybe be a little bit complicated to explain, but... And I must preface this by two things. Firstly, a trigger warning to anyone involved in sexual assault. This may encroach there a little bit on that. And also to clarify that I'm very aware that men can be raped. That's going to sound weird out of context, okay? So just bear with me. Now,
there's a bear with you?
There's a bear with me. He's over there. Keats, he won't leave me alone.
I love that.
Anyway. Special guest this week.
Special guest, this educating bear. No. Anyway, so when a man sexualizes a woman, so the male gaze is a term we use in film, right? A man is staring at a woman and he's sexualizing her. And what he's thinking of is he wants to have sex with her, right? Because he's sexualizing her, maybe. Mm. Mm. Now, this is where it gets difficult. for the man, traditionally, in an ecosystem, in biology, in evolution, in the wilds of Africa, the man does not technically require the female's consent in order to have sex with her.
I'm so interested to see where this is going.
Does not technically require, in that it's not technically a barrier, like physically, right? However, a female who's sexualizing a male does, or to a certain extent, require that man to be a little bit into it, right? And so it's a lot less threatening for a female to sexualize a male, because she can't quite as easily take sex from him. And so if you think about a situation where, for example, a old man is sexualizing a young girl, that's creepy. And that is predatory. And it's because the man can take control and just have sex with that young girl. But if an older woman, for example, my mother, who sexualizes Harry Styles, sorry, Mum, if I'm calling you out there. Shall I take that out?
No, that's really good.
Okay, so my mum did at some point fancy Harry Styles, right? And that's a lot less creepy, but not that I want to talk about my mum thinking about sex with Harry Styles, but it would require Harry Styles to sort of be up for it if she was trying to have sex with Harry Styles. This is a really uncomfortable conversation. But that's my point, is that it's a lot less...
threatening. So what you're getting at is how threatening it is. A man, and not all the time, you know, some women are stronger than some men, but most of the time a man can enforce that desire upon
exactly.
A woman.
And I also must clarify that this is not most basic. This does not apply to all men, this does not apply to all women, but I ran this little study with my friends once, which was, and I'd like to know you guys' opinion. I think, James, I've spoken about this to you before. So my theory is that when a man lusts over a woman, his brain is thinking, I want to do stuff to that person. When a female woman lusts over a man, her thought in my study of my friends is, I want that person to do stuff to me. It's it's more of a passive thing for females or for women, and more of an active thing for males. And
I'd agree with that.
And so Lucy? Yeah.
No, I do agree with that.
And I get that's heteronormative, it's cisnormative, everything. But that is my experience of my friends. And so that sounds weird. This is a really difficult subject that I'm trying to cover without sounding really creepy or talking about my mum having sex with Harry Styles. And so that's why I think it's inherently worse. And so that's why when you see that's why when you see an older woman creeping over a young boy, it's just not the same, in my opinion. I just don't think it's the same thing. Does that make sense? Does it make any sense at all?
No, it did make sense. I think it is a tough one, and I totally agree with what you're saying. But I just think if we want equality, then we can't...
Do we need to try and push past that?
Exactly. We can't behave in such a way.
All right. Fine. Well, we're going to have to wrap up. Lucy, do you feel happy that you've educated Josh on this?
No, not at all.
Okay, well, you can let us know what you think over on @educatingjosh on Twitter in our polls. It's time, wrap up for the quick fire round. Okay, Josh, some people online have suggested that asexuality should not be part of the LGBTQ+ community on the grounds that, quote, it is not a sexuality, it is a lack of sexuality.
And then there's a plus. It's everything, isn't it?
All right, fair enough. An ex-teacher has defended her relationship with a 14-year-old student on the grounds that he was, quote, old for the grade he was in, and, quote, no longer my student at the time.
I mean, it's illegal.
Okay. Thanks, Judge Joshy. Yeah. A woman has been described as heartless as she ran over ducklings that were in her way at a McDonald's drive-thru.
Oh my God.
That's
just awful. You're on your way to have fast food running over other animals.
Move out of the way.
Get out of the way.
Not enough dead animals.
Not you need to kill some more birds.
Jesus Christ.
But also that's a bit weird that people are annoyed that she's killing birds whilst on the way to eat some birds.
In fact, it's just she's representing what she was on her way to do anyway.
Bill Clinton has insisted that he does not owe Monica Lewinsky, the intern he had a sexual affair with in the White House, an apology.
Didn't she give him a blowjob?
Yes.
Okay. No, why does he need to apologise?
He should say thank you.
Lucy!
Sorry!
Oh my God! Look, I think you should finish the podcast very quickly.
And the nice story of the week. A couple, Becky and Jessa, have gone viral on Twitter after one pulled out a ring to propose, only to find that the other had a ring in her bag and was also planning to propose on the same day.
Oh, I saw that.
Isn't that lovely?
It's a really cute video. Watch it.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Educating Josh. We've had a pretty good week this week. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Educating Josh, where there'll be polls and content from each of today's topics, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. We also want you to send in more questions for next week's quickfire round. Please subscribe, and most importantly, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. This has been Educating Josh, a Studio 71 production. We'll see you next week for another episode of Educating Josh. Goodbye.
Bye.